So everyone, here we are on the seventh day of the seventh month, a very special number configuration in the year 2013. We have had a very interesting and actually somewhat challenging year so far, but I hear from my spiritual guidance that we will have a lovely summer. And I certainly look forward to being part of that lovely summer. And I want to thank all of you who have sent me cards of cheer and goodwill, get well, as I've been passing through my personal healing challenge. It's going very well, and about 4 weeks ahead of the curve. So, as a matter of fact, I drove myself to town yesterday, actually driving my car, which is 4 weeks ahead of the curve for someone who's just had the surgical procedure I had. So thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua, and all of my friends and blessing givers and the whole support circle of my life, because it all makes a difference. And I want to make a public acknowledgement and thanks to our three blessing givers who carried on in my absence 2 weeks ago, Tammy, Jenny, and Chris. We couldn't have done it without you, and you were just fabulous. And I think that not only was it wonderful what you said and did, but even more wonderful is that you conveyed the strength of our community to carry on no matter what. In the 3 years now that we have been conducting Christ's Blessing, we have grown into a magnificent, wonderful, loving community that is knitted tightly in love and dedication. And I want all of you to really enjoy the fact that there is someone there who cares for you, no matter what you're going through. We don't have active prayer lines where you can call in at any instant yet. I think that will come in the future. But we do have Givers Facebook page. And if you will go to Spiritus Church on Facebook, you'll see the group, a Christ Blessing group that you can join. And anyone can join this group. Anyone who wants to find out what we're doing, when the blessings are being given, or to ask for a blessing, join the group. Become part of Christ Blessing. It's a wonderful connection for anyone to make. And the work that our blessing givers do really just helps to amplify your prayers, whatever your prayers are. And I can tell you that I certainly received my bread on the water 2 weeks ago. The blessings that I received were beyond my wildest imagination. I mean, I knew we were doing good work, but I had no idea how much it was literally not just a net that catches someone falling off the high wire, but actually bounces them right back up to it. So my undying thanks for all of you who have joined and joined periodically during the week to offer blessings for the world. I know that our blessing givers keep their eye on the news and what's happening, and to offer blessings for those whose lives are in peril or have been lost, or those who are just simply troubled by the conflicts of life. And there's a lot of change going on in the world today, and a lot of challenge that we meet, even in positive ways. Even when the change is positive, it seems to be unsettling in its degree of challenge. We could be moving to the place we've always wanted to live and then have more obstacles than we could ever have thought possible we'd have in getting there, that sort of thing. Now, I would love to hear from you, from some people in our community, because I haven't heard from you in a while. And last week, I waited too late to make our call to participation. So I'd love to give those who were on the call last week and didn't get a chance to talk another chance to come on. And then I'll still offer my message. It's actually really better that we share in our community early on in the call, because the participants on the call tend to grow as we move through the half hour. More and more people come on all the time because they know that they want to catch the meaty part of the message. So this is a good time for us to participate. And if you have a blessing to ask for, you want to let us know how you're doing with your blessings, or you just want to say hi. Whatever's on your mind, we welcome you on the board right now. Press star 6, wait a second, and then press 1. Okay, I see that Desmond is on the call. Hi, Desmond.
Hello, Glenda. I'm glad you're doing so well. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I want to say that, my relationships with my family, a lot of it's been very challenging because, you know, thoughts are energy, and my family aren't necessarily, you know, blessing me. They're really challenging me. And, I noticed how, like, I was like, oh my God, it's like, everyone blessed you when you went through surgery, and it was like, you know, four weeks early recovery, and I wish that my family understood that blessings were a lot easier than challenging. And I just pray that they bless me and learn to love me more, and so we can work together as a family.
Oh, I ask for that for you too, Desmond. And you know, an interesting thing about the learning curve on love and blessings is sometimes the only way people learn is by example. It's a hard lesson for them too. Just keep in mind that it is a hard lesson for people sometimes to let go of their attitude, their position, or their preconceived idea of what's best. And so the best thing to do is to show them by example. And I think that's the real meaning of Yeshua's teaching about loving your enemy, turning the other cheek, and that sort of thing. He didn't want people to be a doormat or to invite abuse or to endure intolerable continuations of oppression. But sometimes you have to show those who oppose you what it feels like to receive a blessing. And always, an interesting thing I have noticed is we are just as blessed by the blessings we give as we are by the blessings we receive.
Yeah, that's true, right?
It really is.
I noticed that too. I gave my mom a big hug today. I was like, I love you so much. And she's like, I didn't feel nearly as much love. I was like, oh man, I felt so much love. I felt so good loving you. I remember that Lester Levinson, he said that it feels greater to love than it does to receive love. To be the love that you are feels better than to be around someone who's love that they are. I mean, the greatest fulfillment, Yeshua said, is self-realization. So,
absolutely.
It is.
Okay. In my opinion, it's a great gift to receive love. It's a great privilege to give love.
Great.
In assuming that privilege of giving love, we actually rise to a higher level on the scale of enlightenment than we do on receiving it. It's really amazing how that works, because we can receive love, and sometimes then we just turn it into a self-indulgence. But when we give love, we rise to our highest potential. Because you know what? In order to give love, we have to find that surplus within ourselves. You know, a certain amount of the love that we are is dedicated to our own survival. And I don't mean to say that in a competitive sense, just in a life-sustaining sense. You are love, and a certain amount of your love is given for your own nourishment, your own fulfillment, your own self-realization, your own discovery, and that sort of thing. But love multiplies itself. And so as you nurture yourself, you create abundances of extra love that you can give to others. In order to find that surplus, you have to rise to a higher level. And so the giving of love to others actually takes you to that greater expanse of love.
Do you just give love freely, or do you give love with an expectation?
Oh, well, it can be both. And oftentimes it is both, depending on the relationship. But I find the free giving of love to be the most fulfilling.
Okay. Cool.
The giving of love unconditionally is what will take you to the highest places of your being, the greatest expanse of your potential. That's what will expand the envelope of your life to the fullest degree. But sometimes we're in relationships where we don't want to be, you know, you can't just get into an imbalance of love where you're the only one that loves indefinitely. And so love does require a certain amount of balance at a certain level of relationship. And and it's very simply because all of life has to stay in balance. And if someone is taking love from you disproportionately over a long period of time with no intention of returning it, wouldn't you be better off giving your love to someone who really can appreciate it and multiply it and acknowledge the love you're giving so that a true relationship can be built?
Yep.
For a while, we just go in grace and in faith. Sometimes it's a little bit like watering this little seed under the ground. We don't see it growing while it's under the ground, and we trust that at some point, that little seed will push upward and we'll see a touch of green, and then from a touch of green, we'll see the first little seedling and its little bud of leaves, and we'll know that what we gave, in fact, is coming to life. And so sometimes we just have to go ahead and proceed on faith. And many, many times, I have loved on faith. But at a certain point, you begin to wonder if the seed has just died under the ground. And the love and the water and the fertilizer would be best spent somewhere else. Like Yeshua said, sometimes you cast, he gave a perfect parable of giving love. He said, you know, just cast the seeds of your life freely. Just scatter them freely. Some will fall on fertile ground and some will fall on rocks and rocky ground. And don't worry about it, because you never know where something will fall that will begin to grow. But then after a while, that which doesn't grow, you don't spend more water and fertilizer on it. You know, he had a lot of agricultural-type parables because the world was agricultural then. He talked about the vineyard a lot and how you simply, or the orchard, and how you simply cut out a vine or a tree that doesn't bear fruit. So there comes a point where you have to make a management decision. But you don't do that initially. Initially, you give your love freely. And then you give your love freely again and again and again. And then you refine where and how you give your love according to the results that are coming. And that way, you don't do it with prejudgment. You know, I think a lot of people ask me, what's the difference between judgment and discrimination? Well, judgment is almost always prejudgment. It almost always comes from pre-installed expectations and demands. Like, some people just don't like certain other people. If they're from a different town, race, color, creed, whatever, political system, they just don't like certain other people. That, and so when they meet people that represent the unqualified members in their life, they just automatically judge them. Well, discernment is not like that. Discernment actually has an open mind, and it looks for results. It looks for production. It looks for positive considerations. What could be the most wonderful benefit of what I've invested my love and my time in, and the most likely positive possibilities? So, you see, discernment works with an open mind to evaluate positive possibilities. Judgment works with a closed mind. So, I would say keep your mind open, keep your heart open, and discern what's happening and how the love you're giving is being used. Even Yeshua did that. Does that help?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I hope it helps a lot of people. I don't see anyone else coming on the board. Where are my people that wanted to talk last time? Okay, well, I'll be watching the board, but I'm just going to go ahead and speak about what I wanted to bring up this week, because I think it's a good second step to what we talked about last week. Oh, here's someone. I'll take Kathy's call and one other call. Because I could probably work in my speech into their call. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I sure can. You're on.
Okay. It's so nice to have you back and feeling good, and I appreciate you so much. I wanted to just comment on what you've been talking about, because I made a decision recently to end a relationship that actually I only had an opportunity to do this morning, and it's painful to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of the time I doubt my ability to be open to receiving, and that I stick around because I think that I need to keep doing a better job of receiving, because I think I do a pretty good job of giving. And so letting go of this relationship and seeing that there's an opportunity for me to be in a relationship with someone who is able to give,
mm-hmm.
Maybe is more available to me than that you're recounting Jesus' parables really was helpful in reminding me of that, but I don't have to go to a well that isn't full in order to, drink from it.
That's right. That's right. You know, there's a couple of things I can say in addition, is that giving of love is such a privilege, and it takes us to certain heights of enlightenment that we actually can almost become addicted to it.
Yeah.
There are people who really give more than they get because they get so much out of it. And that's an experience I would like to recommend to some of you who have not tested that that proposition, because it really, really is true. And if you want to fly your kite, just try giving love unconditionally and see how much wind comes under it and how high your kite will fly. But those who've been doing it repeatedly without balancing out their life probably need to consider the alternative, the other. All of life needs to balance out at some point. And we all need to drink from the fresh living waters of love. We all need to be loved. There's a song that says to love and to be loved. You know, there's nothing greater than to find that balance point in life. And to be as close to that balance point as possible. And I think the real key is giving our love freely, but then discerning what's happening with it with an open mind. You know, like, I can't stress enough the difference between judgment and discernment. Judgment is always done with a closed mind. In fact, if you see people with a closed mind, even if they're not speaking judgments, you know for sure they're thinking them. If you are around people with an open mind, even if they're not exercising all of their abilities for discernment, you know they're capable of it. And so keep an open mind and strive for arriving at the balance point of love in your life, because you have to receive in order to give more.
Right.
And that's how it works. It's like a parched soil just simply cannot grow the crops.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be fertile ground on which for love to fall. In fact, now, Kathy, that you have left that relationship, what you may want to do is connect up with your friends and your family and people you know love you, and just get a little gentle rain on the soil to build up the aquifer a little bit before you put on yourself a more challenging task of finding the next new great love of your life.
Yeah, I actually connected with one of my blessing giver buddies this morning afterwards.
That's terrific. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I know this strikes a bell with a lot of people. And I'm going to move quickly on through the next three callers since I asked them to come on board. And that'll still give me time to do a wrap-up. Okay, we have a caller from area code. Okay, 3-2.
Yes, ma'am. So there's something that the master said I like to keep in my my heart and my mind throughout the day.
Okay.
About unity.
Uh-huh.
I think it was, you know, without the false dominance of manufactured identities, you'd have infinite wisdom at your fingertips and the time in which to use it.
Uh-huh.
And then also about in the presence of unity, which is God, the One, the Supreme, you have all the power you need to fulfill your life and existence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you said last week to send love into the spirit of faith and unity with optimism, I really appreciated hearing that. And so what I did is I've got a little garden in front of dianthus flowers,
uh-huh.
and I built a fountain, and so I dedicated it to that sort of, you know, like a visual aid, I guess, to send love into the spirit of faith and unity. Yeah, with optimism, you know. And it's solar powered.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. So I wanted to say thanks for that.
Oh, you are so welcome. And that is such a perfect example of how you can, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute. Did you have something else to say?
No, just I'll also look to how that love comes back to me, like you're saying.
Okay, I'm going to, because of the echo, I'm going to mute your call, and I'm going to continue to respond to it. You know, there are so many simple ways in the lives of every single person where you can pay it forward unconditionally. I was sitting on my front porch, recuperating from my surgery, and noticed there were an unusual number of cardinals in the cedar tree that was only about 30 or 40 feet away. And I finally realized they were taking turns going into the tree, which was a definite signal that there was a nest of hatchlings in that tree they were taking care of. And I remembered I still had it one seed bell under, well, in my storage bin. And so I had my assistant go and get the seed bell, and we tied it up on a bush, not in the cedar tree. We didn't want to disturb the nest or their little habitat. And so I tied it up, and it was absolutely delightful seeing the cardinals come and feed on the little seed bell. And, you know, I would then meditate on how many cardinals would probably now survive that nesting event and go on out into the world to have their future generations of cardinals. And who knows how far that would go. That was just one little example of paying it forward, sharing with life, being in the flow of the unity of life. And if we have time, I'm going to build on that message into the next level of what I think we need to look at next. And thank you for bringing that up. It's a perfect example, because a lot of people think that paying it forward means taking huge percentages out of your income and helping the needy. And of course, that, I'm sure people would appreciate that, but it can start with the slightest and most wonderful gesture, because paying it forward is a way of life. It's the tangible act of faith. And as we have all learned, that faith can just stay in the spiritual, mental, heart realm, or we can give it tangible presence in the world. And which do you think actually has more and better results? Okay. I'm going to open up the line to Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Glenda, and hello, everyone. I just wanted to give a little account of what my day was like yesterday, or on the 4th of July, I should say. And I went out to the country road where I usually go after supper for a walk, or before supper sometimes, around twilight time. Mm-hmm. And on that road, I met four families that were out having their fireworks.
Wow.
And I got to, and there were, I have a road that I just walked down till a crossroad, and down at the end there were, there was a family, and there were about seven people of all ages, and they were just really sweet, and there was a young woman there, I would say, in her early 20s, and her name was Caitlin, she was going off to graduate school, and I asked her about her field of study, and she said she was going into law, and she was going to graduate school. And then she told me the college she went to, which was exactly the college I went to, and the same graduate school.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it was wonderful. Then I got to, their other people came, and I saw their headlights, and they were shooting off their fireworks. So altogether, four different groups of people that I got to be with.
Oh, that's wonderful, Paul. Isn't it great when you get to share your higher moments in life?
Absolutely. It was spectacular. And a deer ran across the road about 20 feet from me, a little deer.
Wonderful.
Into a ditch, and I heard this big splash. We had a lot of rain, and it scampered up, and then later I saw the same deer down a little farther, leaping in the ditch.
Screaming. Oh, he was playing.
And it was absolutely delightful to share in the community, and the crops are looking really good of the earth, and the fruits of the earth, the birds, and the animals, and then especially to meet these wonderful folks, and it was like about the richest experience I could have had.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Paul, and it's really, really nice to hear from you. You know what, though? We're going to have to sign off because we've got to get into our blessing, and I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. And I only have like about 1 minute to say what I was going to talk about, but I will use this to tee us up for our, I think we talked about some wonderful things today. I was able to bring in some valuable parables of love and giving love and the exchange of love today, which I know helped a lot of you. And of course, the purpose of this blessing is to receive the love of God, the love of Yeshua, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the earth, which fulfills you. And as we do that, we receive to our fullest, and then we give back as we can, which primes all of this eternal flow of energy, love, and giving to give back to us again. Now, I think that was actually what the community wanted to hear this week, which is why we finally had so many callers come on, and I apologize to the rest of you that I just couldn't get to you in time. What I was going to talk to you about, which I will next week, is what matters most. In this world, we talk about priorities. And if you take any management courses, whether they're from teachers in college about business or management or just managing your life, you study with Tony Robbins or you study with a lot of motivational speakers or people who teach you how to rise to your highest advantage, the word they'll use is priority. And I'm sure all of you know what priorities are. It's putting first things first. But there's something about the word priority that just has kind of a mental quality that doesn't always reach into our heart. It's what we put on our goals list or our planning list. But what matters most is what happens if a storm is coming. You know that you have to evacuate due to high probability of a fire approaching, an earthquake, or let's just say you're traveling to a wonderful vacation, but you just found out you can only take 2 bags. And you think, well, what matters most? Now, that's a phrase that hits in your heart. That's where you have to really think, okay, if I only had 2 minutes to take the most important things out of my house, what would I take? That's what matters most. If you knew you only had 6 weeks to live, what matters most? What would be on your bucket list? What matters most is a really, really big concept that we ignore. And this is what I want to leave you to think about this week, and we're going to take it up in depth next week. Because, you see, God knows what matters most to you. But so often the prayers we pray are not focused on what matters most to you. Most often the prayers we pray are focused upon what we don't have, what we'd like to have, the extras we want. And rarely do we actually pray for what matters most. I want you to think about that. Because when we pray and we seek to receive blessings for what matters most, you have an automatic, already open line to God, the Creator, to Christ, our heavenly brother, to the earth, to the Holy Spirit, who already know what matters most to you. So I would like to invite you to be in that prayer and to have that consideration this week, and we'll talk about that proposition in greater depth next week. So I ask and invite the blessing givers to join me, because I'm still a little bit challenged in my mobility. And let us begin with, I want to just remind any newcomers to remove your shoes and socks, have your feet on the ground, be in a comfortable seated position with your head uncovered except my hair, of course, and have it pointed to the heavens. Do not have electronic equipment on your body that would include watches or any other than, of course, necessary life support equipment. Just be as unfettered by external energy systems as possible. I will say my invocation to Yeshua. And I would like to invite you this time, instead of praying for things, hold your heart dearly on what matters most to you, and let that be your prayer and the magnetic energy of drawing in the blessings of God, the blessings of Christ, our brother, and of the Holy Spirit and the earth to nurture, uplift, protect, and preserve that which matters most to you. Dear Yeshua, thank you for walking with us and being with us in our hearts always. Even when we don't see you, you are there, and we find you in our quiet moments. Thank you for being the one that supports our ability to have all the experiences of life we choose, even the ones that lead us astray, as you stand there calling us home. I would thank you for attracting the presence of the Holy Spirit to heal and nurture our life, to connect us more completely and fully with the earth, and most of all, with our Heavenly Father. We ask that this blessing be pure and perfect, flowing from the Heavenly Father through us to the earth, to enhance and perfect all that matters most in our life, to allow us to stand more completely in our personal power of those highest and dearest values and endearments. And thank you for being with us forever. Amen. The energetic part of your blessing is now complete, and I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Assimilate the energy into all levels of your body, heart, soul, and being. Don't do anything with your mind. Allow your mind to stay relaxed. Just receive, assimilate, and be nurtured. Know that you have been blessed with love. Let it fill your life all this week and forevermore. And I hope to see you again for the second chapter of our message next week. Bye-bye.